Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hannah.
I'm Kieran Bennett.
And I'm James Barry.
And you might have heard already from Annie and the other folks on Solidarity Breakfast, got a weird little hiccup in the studio this morning. So no intro music for us today, but you do have the dulcet tones of us to carry you through regardless.
Which is wonderful.
That's what it's all about.
Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. You can find us on the web or the www.aawl.org.au. We are on Facebook and Substack, so look us up on those social media platforms as well. Coming up on today's program, we are going to have a chat with Ness Govanzo from Gabriella, Australia. Gabriella, Australia is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. It's an organisation that supports migrant Filipino women politically, industrially, and of course to integrate into Australian society and just a broad political support network for Filipinos in Australia. They've got a fundraiser coming up, and they've also, as I said, celebrating their 30th anniversary. That will be coming up shortly on the program, but we're going to go first to a track, and this song is They Don't Really Care About Us by Michael Jackson.
Thank you.
Botanica, a celebration of our natural environment, gardening and sustainability. Gather your Botanica-loving friends and family. The Botanica Festival, the National Trust of Australia, Victoria's annual celebration of the natural environment, sustainability and gardening is returning on Sunday the 10th of May, Mother's Day, at the iconic Ripon Lee Estate. Held in partnership with City of Glenira Council and Milieu Property, Botanica brings together locals, young families and nature enthusiasts to one of Victoria's most majestic heritage-listed sites for a lush celebration of nature, well-being and gardening. To find out more about Botanica, please visit ripponleeestate.com.au, a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to Community Radio 3CR. It's 8 minutes past 9 o'clock, and this is Asia Pacific Currents. My next guest is Ness Gavanzo from Gabriella, Australia. Welcome to the program, Ness.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I thought maybe we could start with you explaining to listeners what is Gabriella, Australia, and also how does it link in, or how talk a little bit about its association with its brother or sister organisation, Migrante.
So Gabriella, Australia is the overseas chapter of Gabriella, Philippines, which is the militant women's alliance, Filipino Women's Alliance, that was founded originally to combat the dictatorship of Marcos way back in 1984. And it's really for the rights of women and children. And at that point, it was also the widespread corruption and also the poverty in the Philippines. So as an overseas chapter, our focus is in the area of supporting those that have been impacted by family and domestic violence, and very much into the issues of temporary migrants, because the Filipinos have through time increased in terms of migration here in Australia, of course, all over the world. We're scattered in, I think, 92 countries at the moment, and that is because of the structural issues back home. And then, of course, we're very linked to our sister organization, like Migrante. Migrante is the one who is supporting those workers that have issues around workplaces, especially around abuse and exploitation. So we work hand in hand because we really we live with that, I think, adage that our kind of feminism is always to include everyone in this area of fight for equality. And equity and equality for women and children. We cannot separate ourselves to the rest of the society, because we're very much integral in that fight.
Thank you so much for that background. I understand that people, humans, are the biggest export of the Philippines. So migration, whether it be temporary or permanent, is the Philippines' biggest export. What does that mean for people, for the social cohesion, for family unification?
It's a very big issue because at the moment we're hitting 8,000 Filipinos leaving every day to find work and live elsewhere, overseas. So that means it's a very big drain especially in the economy, because, you're getting the cream of the crop of the skilled workers of the Philippines and very much separating families. So a lot that is affected is, of course, the women and the children. At the moment, we have more, actually, Filipinas that are working overseas. And they work, majority of them work as domestic helpers. It's only second, the skilled jobs, supposedly skilled jobs, like, nurses and other profession, but a large bulk are working as domestic helpers. So you could just imagine, we have the best of nurses, engineers, and you know, a lot of the profession, but they are not located inside the country. They are elsewhere. So we're talking about the healthcare and the education and other sectors of the Philippines very much struggling because its own people are not there to serve its own.
How much is the is this a solution to some problems in the Philippines in terms of nurses being quite low paid in the Philippines? How much do you think Filipino governments have looked at immigration as being a solution to not having to pay nurses properly in the Philippines?
I think the problem is since the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos in the 70s and 80s, he was the one who started it. So his only solution to the problems of the country is to implement the labor export policy. So very much into serving the neoliberal world rather than, you know, looking into first what would be the solution inside. So ever since that time, the thinking of the government is let's just export the Filipinos because they will give us the remittances.
You mentioned domestic workers, which we've covered a lot on Asia Pacific Currents, particularly the exploitation, sexual violence against domestic workers when they're placed in other countries. I imagine that as an organisation like Gabriela, you would see a lot of that. Can you talk a little bit about the plight of domestic workers?
Yes. So as an overseas chapter, so we're located in different countries. So one of our biggest chapter is around Hong Kong and also in the Middle East. But because of the rules around organizing and very much is very difficult around the Middle East, so that's why they're not very open about it. But say in Hong Kong, there's a lot of Filipino domestic workers. I think it's a competition between the Filipinos and the Indonesians there. So, and you can see how dire the situation. I've been there in January. They don't have, although they have their day off on a Sunday, they cannot even spend it, you know, freely because they just lay, you know, cardboard boxes in public places because that's all the spaces that they could have. And then they're paid, I think around $500 to $600 a month, and that's a stay-in job, so 24 hours. They are at the mercy of their employers, the whole families, and, you know, they don't even have proper rooms inside the home. So, and a lot of them are not able to just visit families in the Philippines. Some of them would spend years before they could even go back home because their employers would impose that they should always be there at their workplaces, at the home of their employers. So when I went there, I cannot even imagine, you know, being in that situation. And we're talking of hundreds of thousands of domestic workers. I think Hong Kong would have 300,000 plus domestic workers.
It's extraordinary.
Domestic helpers, yeah.
You've mentioned the Marcos dictatorship a couple of times, and I think it's worth acknowledging that this year is a 40-year anniversary of the EDSA People's Power movement that overthrew Marcos. And of course, the Philippines is currently governed by his son. So let's first talk about Ferdinand Marcos Sr. And that dictatorship of 84 to 86. And yeah, what can you tell us about the regime that he imposed in the Philippines?
So he imposed the martial law in 1972, in September of 1972, and it went all the way up to 1984, technically. But he was only unseated in 86. That's when the People Power Uprising happened. So a lot during that dictatorship, even before the imposition of the Marshall in 1972, a lot of killings of activists happened. So, say I come from one of those families where my dad and my uncles and aunties were put into jails because they were anti the dictatorship. So we're talking about of more than 10,000. These are only the cases that were lodged of those that were killed during that dictatorship. So there are way, way more than that. But this is just the one that were officially filed in the court. So very much the environment is, you cannot say anything against the government. So even say in the arts and literature, the only movies that the people could watch are sort of almost pornographic materials. And nothing, not even, you know, a few words should be uttered. Otherwise, you'll end up or in jail or you're going to be killed. So there are so many cases of that, where even like a student who just challenged in one, I think, forum, the daughter of Marcos ended up being killed after that event. So it was really a very horrible situation. And that fear that they instilled in the Filipino people was at its height. But also, on the other hand, that was also the time that the revolutionary movement was very popular among the masses, because that's the solution that they are like, okay, there's no other solution but to fight. So you would see a lot of the activists in the urban areas joining the revolutionary movement in the countryside. And then that ended, that is the main thing that resulted to the eventual People Power uprising in 1986. That definitely got out Marcos out of its power. So we don't really call that as something that just happened in 1986. It was a long, long years of organizing, mobilizing, and educating the people.
And since that time, over the past 40 years, the Marcos family worked very hard to come back into power. And now, as Giselle mentioned, Bongbong Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos Sr.'s son, is the leader of the country. Could you talk a little bit about what's changed in the Philippines and how what the current Marcos government is like?
Well, it has gotten worse, of course. Everyone knows that the current Marcos was able to secure that position because of the fraudulent election. So, that automation, they played a lot on that. That's why they're there. So there were a lot of proof that, you know, they rigged the elections big time. At the moment, what is happening is that partnership between two elite families, the Dutertes, which is the former president, and also the Marcoses. But at the moment, if we're talking about the current, they have a big conflict. So because Duterte is already in The Hague because of his drug war atrocities that he committed. More than 30,000 Filipinos were killed, and mostly are poor. So and then so they have a rift because the Marcos Jr., Bongbong Marcos, is saying that. Oh no, Duterte is saying that it was all facilitated by Bongbong Marcos. And then at the moment, what is happening is they're all throwing each other how many billions of pesos have been corrupted in the government by the previous Duterte government. And now at the moment that there's a lot of proof that are surfacing around the flood control projects and other big projects, but it's mainly in the flood control projects that has been uncovered, that it points all the way to Malacañang. So Marcos now is trying to safeguard itself from that fiasco of flood control mismanagement, because it's now being uncovered that it's in the billions of pesos, while, you know, the Filipinos are suffering. And as I said, that number itself of overseas Filipinos has jumped from 7,000 to 8,000 a day. So, so it's, and now the response of the Marcos government is now similar to his dictator father. So there's a lot of killings that are happening. Say in the 19th of this, of last month of April, there was a massacre of 19 activists in Negros, which is an area in the Philippines that is full of sugarcane plantation, and it's very much living in a very feudal era where haciendas were talking of thousands and thousands of hectares being owned only by a few families that are also sitting in different positions in the government.
Just interesting, I mean, you spoke obviously about the corruption, the fraudulent elections. But I guess what Duterte is most known for is that war on drugs, for which he's facing charges in The Hague. Mm. Has Marcos continued that war on the poor in the same way?
Yes, yeah. He did. So it's more on he is able to mask it, because he's not the same as Duterte, where he declared openly that this is there is the drug war. Marcos is not doing that. So he continues the killings, but not pronouncing it.
And this is the vast political context in which organisations like Gabriela exist. And, of course, part of your role is supporting women workers from the Philippines based in Australia. You folks have been doing this for the last 30 years. Can you talk a little bit about some of the campaign highlights over that 30-year period?
So one of our main campaigns, say when Gabriela was still new, we were started in 96, was around the mail order brides. So there's a lot of Filipinas getting into Australia, being partners of white Australians, but also ended up being killed at that point. I think we are one of topping the charts of killed partners of white Australians. So we very much link that to how the poverty in the Philippines have pushed Filipinas to be doing that, coming as mail order brides. And then as we moved on, we have now continued to have a very high number of people that are coming on temporary visas and again being recruited as partners, but are coming in not as not on partner visas, but on temporary visas. So very vulnerable. And then when they end up being abused, they cannot even access the system. So we're talking also of women who ended up the ones being made to work for the families of, you know, their partners. And the partners would say that so many cases of partners that are heavily reliant on government subsidies, not working, and then the Filipinas will be the one, you know, working full-time. And then there's the problem also of if they wanted to send money back home, they're being prohibited to do that, and then that's part of the abuse they experience. So we always have that partnership with other organizations also, because we're talking of these women as they are in itself workers themselves. That it's a combination of they are being paid very low because of their visa status, and they are in precarious situation in terms of employment, but also additional to that is what is happening in their homes.
And you have organised a commemoration, a 30-year anniversary event, which is also a fundraiser event for this coming week. Why don't you give the details of that event?
Yeah, so it's going to happen on a Saturday on the 16th. It starts at 6 o'clock at the QV Women's Center. So we will have a lot of musical and other art forms of performances. We have the kids that will be singing and dancing, but we will also be highlighting the campaign that comes from Gabriela Philippines, the I Vow Against Vow campaign. It's really an interesting one. There will be a visual thing there that would be displayed, and then all that will be participating will be able to, it will be an interactive activity. So that one, actually the primary purpose of the fundraiser, and it's awkward for us because we don't really do that, but then we have to do it so that we will continue to have that small space at the QV Women's Center, and also at least, you know, pay for at least the meals of our volunteers, because we have been doing this on a volunteer basis for so long, and the government won't even budge on giving us any sort of funds to continue to do the work that is supposed to be done by the government itself, of the Australian government. Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ness, for your time on the program. And I'll give out those details again. It is a fundraiser next Saturday, the 16th of May, 6 p.m. onwards at QV Women's Centre. It's $85 a ticket to keep these guys in their space at QV and to keep them functioning and continuing to do the work that they're doing. It's a semi-formal event, so you can dress up a little bit for it as well, but it's going to be an amazing night of gorgeous Filipino cultural festivities to celebrate and commemorate the amazing work that they do. But that does bring us to the end of another Asia Pacific Currents. And we've got 8 seconds. That's it for me, Giselle Hannah.
Me, Karen Bennett.
Me, James Barry.
And Palestine Remembered is coming up next.